Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shabbos Daf Pei Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's Shiur 16 lines from the top. The Gemara opens up with a Pasuk. We are, of course, continuing with the theme of Matan Torah. On the side of the Gemara, we have a Nosei Klali noted, and we've written here, Maimed Har Sinai V'Kabbalas HaTorah. The Gemara until Daf Pei Tes Amud Beis will deal with the Sinai experience. The assembly of the Jewish people around Mount Sinai and the receipt of the Torah. The Pasuk in Shmos says, V'Yisyatzvu B'Tachti Sohar. And they stood underneath the mountain. Omer of Avdimi bar Chamo bar Chasa Milame. This teaches us Shekofa Kodesh Baruch Aleim es Hahar Kegigis, that the Almighty lifted the mountain and positioned it above the people as one would hold a barrel above something. Gigas is a barrel. So he picked up the mountain like as if it were a barrel and held it over them. The Omar Lohem, and the Almighty said to the people, Imatem mekablim haTorah mutav, if you accept the Torah, then good, fine, v'imlav, and if not, shom tehei kvuraschem. There will be your burial under the mountain. Omar Avachol bar Yankiv, mikan, from here, moido rabo lo'oraisa. There is a formal or strong disclaimer that could have been made by the Jewish people at that time and for a number of years later, that they were forced to accept the Torah, so that in the event that they violate the mitzvot, they could always respond that we were forced, we accepted the Torah under duress, so that our violations of the Torah is not something to be held accountable for. Omar Rabba, Afal Pikein, even though at that generation of the receipt of the Torah there was this element of force or pressure, Afal Pikein, Hodur Kibluah Bimei HaShverosh, later, many years later, in the time of the story of Purim, the years in the time of HaShverosh, the Jewish people voluntarily or willingly accepted the Torah upon themselves out of recognition and thanks for the miracle that was wrought for them, their salvation from Haman. Dichtiv, the pasuk says in the Megillah, Kimu v'kiblu ha'yehudim. And from this we learn, Kimu ma'ashi kiblu kfar. They fulfilled that which they originally had accepted. In other words, they fulfilled willingly that which originally they had accepted under duress. Omar Chizkiya, my dichtiv. Rav Chizkiya explains the pasuk that says, Mishamai mishmata din, eretz yora v'shakata. From heaven the law was heard, there was fear, and there was silence. The question is asked by the Gemara, im yora lo mashakta, if the land was fear struck, then why the silence? Vim shakta, and if there was silence, lama yora, then what was the, where was their fear? What was the reason for fear? Ela betchilo yora ubesov shakta. Rather, at the beginning, before the Jews said, Na'aseh v'nishma, before they said, we will follow the Torah, and then let us hear what it says, before they announced that, so there was fear. The world was in fear that maybe they won't accept the Torah. And until the world heard the Jewish people accepting the Torah, there was a fear they might not accept it. And if in the event that they wouldn't accept the Torah, as the Gemara will explain shortly, the world would be reverted to its pre-creation state. The Lama Yora, why was there the initial fear? Kidder Reish Lakish, based on Reish Lakish's teaching. The Omer Reish Lakish, Mai Dichtiv Vayerev Vayiboker Yom HaShishi. The Pasuk from the time of creation says it, and it was evening and morning on the sixth day. Hey Yisera Lomali. The Hey in this pasuk, Hashishi, is a letter, the Hey Hayadiyah it's called. It's a letter pointing out something of prominence. In other words, the other days of creation, you will see, it says, Vayerev, Vayboker, Yom Sheni, Yom Shlishi, Yom Ravi, etc. But when it comes to Friday, it's called Yom Hashishi with the Hey of significance. So the Gemara is asking, why on the sixth day why is the sixth day accentuated? The Gemara answers, Malamed, this pasuk teaches us, that the Almighty made a condition at the time of creation, a condition with all that which was created. The Omar Lohem, and the Almighty said to them, Im Yisrael Mekablim Atorah, Atem Miskaimin, if the Jewish people accept the Torah, and the acceptance of the Torah was on the sixth of Nisan. That of Sivan, that is. So Hashishi is a reference not to Friday of the week of creation, but it's a reference to the sixth of Sivan, not a Friday at all, but the Hey is darshaned to refer to that day of acceptance of Torah. And there with that we understand the Almighty made a condition that if the Jews accept the Torah, which is represented by the sixth of Sivan, that's the sixth, then you, the creation, will continue. V'im lav, ani machzir eschem l'toyu v'vo. And if the Jews don't accept the Torah there in the future, then I will revert all of the creations to its pre-creation state. That's the state known as tohu v'vo. We refer to that simply as pre-creation. So that all of the cosmos were fear-struck, that were nervous, were at edge. That's what your awe means. They were anticipatory. Maybe the Jews won't accept the Torah. That will mean the end for us. Dorash Rav Simoi, Bishal Sheik Dimu Yisrael Nasilishma, when the Jews made their famous proclamation and stated, "We will do, and then we will hear." In other words, it was a type of blind acceptance of following the Torah precepts. We will do it. And which would indicate, even though they don't know what they have to do, they're going to do it anyway. And then, after proclaiming, "We will do it," then let us hear. So when they said that, Bo Shishim Ribo Shemalachi Ashores L'chol Echo V'Echom Yisrael, Shishim Ribo is 60 times Ribo. Ribo is 10,000. So that's 600,000 service angels came to each one of the Jewish people. That's the whole Echo Vechom Yisrael, Koshulo Shnei Ksorim. And they attached to each Jew two crowns. Echo Keneged Naseh, Echo Keneged Nishma. One in honor of their saying Naseh, and one in honor of their saying Nishma. The Kevon Shechotu Yisrael, upon their sinning, however, let's put it this way, that Naseh v'Nishma was at the time of the original Sinai experience. And then, after that, there was a period of time that Moshe Rabbeinu then ascended the mountain, eventually came down, but during that time they sinned with the golden calf. That's V'kivan Shechotu, at the point they sinned with the golden calf, Yordu Me'av V'Esrim Ribo Malachei Chabola, 120, that's Me'av V'Esrim, times 10,000, 1.2 million service angels then descended, upirkum, and removed the crowns that each Jew had received. It was 600,000 put on the crowns, each single angel responsible for two crowns, but when it came to removing them, individual angels were needed per crown, hence doubling the number. Shenemar, the pasuk that indicates this is Vayisnatzlu b'nei Yisrael es Edyom mehar Chorev. The Edyom is that which is decorative, in this case the crown, that was removed from them at Har Chorev at Mount Sinai. Omer of Chama bar Harina b'Chorev Toanu b'Chorev Porku. It was at Mount Sinai that they put it on. Toanu is to load up or put on, and at Sinai they removed it. The Chorev Toanu Kinemoran, at Sinai they were clothed with it, they were loaded with it, it was placed on them, as we already explained. V'chorev parku, and at Chorev they were removed. Echti v'yisnatzlu b'nei Yisrael, just like we said before. Omar Rav Yochanan v'kulon zocha Moshe v'notlan. All the crowns that were removed from the Jewish people, Moshe Rabbeinu merited and took them. The Samech Le, next to this pasuk, it says, Moshe Ikach es ha'ohel. So that which the Jewish people lost, Moshe Rabbeinu gained, he received. Omrei Shlokish, Otsir Gosh Baruch Hu Lachziron Lanu. Shlokish tells us that in the future, the Almighty will return the crowns to us. Shnema, Ufduyei Hashem Yeshuvun, Vo Tzion Barina V'simchas Ulam Al Roisham. The pasuk indicates the redeemed ones will come to Zion in a state of happiness, and we darshan simcha shemei olam al rosham, a joy will be experienced, a joy concerning that which was a long time in the past on their heads, a reference to the return of the crowns. Amar Belozer b'shal shekdimu Yisrael nasa l'nishma, when the Jewish people mentioned nasa before Nishma, as we indicated before, it was a very, very profound act on their behalf. So Yotzal Baskoil, the Omra Lohen, a heavenly voice emerged and said, "Migilo Devonai Roz Ze Shemal Ache Hashoris Mishtam Shimbo." Who revealed to my children, to the Jewish people, the secret that angels use? Tichtiv. The pasuk regarding angels says, "Baruch Hu Hashem al Ochav, Giborei Koach Oisei Devoro Lishmoya b'Kol Devoro." Notice we dashed underlined two words, Oisei and then Lishmoa. Bereisha Oisei first. There is an indication of doing the Hodar Lishmoa, and then of listening. So as we mentioned before, a type of unqualified acceptance to follow, and then only later, okay. Now that we've accepted, we'll do whatever you say. What do we have to do? Omer Chama Bar Chanina, my dichtiv ketapuch batzayar. That is a posuk. Loma nimshu Yisrael letapuch. Why in this posuk are the Jewish people compared to the tapuch? The tapuch is a type of fruit, very often translated as an apple. Loma loch. To a posuk's point is ma tapuch ze piru kudim loolav. The tapuach tree is an unusual type of fruit tree in so far as the tapuach fruit emerges before its leaves. So it's, as we say, something that's out of the usual or the expected order. Af Yisrael, so too the Jewish people, hikdimu naase l'nishma, they mentioned out of what one would ordinarily think is out of order. They said, "We will do," and then tell us what to do. Usually, the people would want to hear what are we expected to do, and they would evaluate: do we really want to do it? Can we do it? Etc. And then accept to do it. But the Jewish people switched the order by saying Naase before Nishma. Hahu Tzeduki dechazia l'rova dekoma'ayin b'shmeitza. A tzeduki is a reference to people that were not part of the traditional Jewish fold. People that were called skeptics, non-believers, deniers of the oral tradition, etc. A member of this sect, the tzeduki, met Rava and noticed him studying Torah. Ma'ayin was analyzing his Torah learning. V'yasfa etzba'ose diyode tuse karo. And Rava was so intensely involved with his Torah learning that he had folded his fingers underneath his feet. He was sitting in such a position, applying so much pressure to his fingers that they ended up bleeding. Omale, the tzeduki, noticing Rava, says in a derisive fashion, "Amo paziza, you hasty nation, the kadmisu pumaychu la'odnaychu, that you placed your mouths before your ears." Pumaychu are mouths, odnaychu your ears. In other words, you made a proclamation of na'aseh before you had nishma, before listening. Akati bepsu bepachzuzaychu kaimisu. I see that you are still in your irresponsible fashion, in your irresponsible behavior. He was, as we said before, he was insulting Rava in his intense commitment to his Torah learning. And the Tzeduki goes on to say, Bereshoi boya luchu lemishma. At first, you should have listened. I matzisu kablisu vilo lo kablisu. If matzisu, if you're able to fulfill the Torah, then fine, accept it. And if not, so then not. But you people acted irresponsibly, accepting in an unqualified fashion. Omar Lei, Rava responds, Anan, we continue at the top of Omid Beis, we, the Saginon Bishle Musa, that follow the Almighty in true faith, in total trust. Rashi at the top says, "This sagino b'shlimusa, his alachnu imo b'tom lev." We followed him in a wholehearted fashion. Kederach oisa me'avo, like those that are in love. V'samachnu alav, and we relied him. Shalit anenu b'davar shalenu chalamur bo. We trusted and faith in him that he, the Almighty, would not encumber us with something that we would not be able to handle. So regarding us, says Rava, Ksiv Bonnet says regarding us, Tumas Yishorim Tanchem. Tumas is one more tam, the wholesomeness of this of the righteous, of the straight ones will guide them. Hanoch Inshi, these people, a reference to the Tzeduki, like you guys, the Sagan Ba'aliluso, that Sagan is to walk, that follow in a contorted fashion. In a twisted fashion, Ksiv Behu, it says regarding them, but he's speaking respectfully regarding you, the Selef Bogdim Yishadeim. The as the pasuk continues to say, the Bogdim are the rebellious ones, those that left the fold. Their Selef is their aberration, their we said before, contorting the Torah, Yishadeim will cause their destruction. The Gemara continues, Omar of Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Rabbi Yoinuson, Mai Dechtiv, Libavtani Achosi Kalo, Libavtani Ba'achas Me'inayech. The word Libavtani, Rashi explains, is Keravtani, that you drew me near. Betchila, the Gemara explains, Betchila means as at the time they received the Torah, Ba'achas me'enayech. Literally, in one of your eyes. Lukshatasi, but when you actually carry it out, b'shtei enayech. There's the first level is a, let's say, a partial nearness. That's the point of acceptance. But what's more endearing is the carrying out, the fulfilling of the Torah. Omar Ula, Aluva kala mizane besoich chuposa. Aluva, the word that's used by Rashi to explain aluva, is chatzufa, or we could say chutzpah. It is considered chutzpahdik for a kala, for a bride who is about to marry her husband, her groom, and to in the midst of the marriage ceremony to go off with someone else. That's mizana, is an act of immorality, of conducting an act of immorality with someone else in the middle of her wedding. That's a reference to at the foot of Mount Sinai, where they were receiving the Torah. They went ahead and went to worship the golden calf. We call the Maisa Egel. The Egel being we'll say the wedding was between Klal Yisrael and the Ribbono Shelam and the Almighty, and at that very point, the Jewish people went and followed the golden calf, we'll call the competition, or in this case the false one. Omar Rav Mori, Bro Debash Shmuel, my craw. What is the pasuk that indicates this idea? The pasuk says, "Ad shamelech b'mesibo nirdi nosan recho." That means while the king was in his mesibah, at his wedding, his chuppah, then nirdi is a fragrance. Its fragrance was cast off. Rashi says, "Nosan ozav recho hatov lachirim." Its pleasant smell went off to others. Omar Rav, Vadayin Chavivuso Hi Gabon. Even so, even though the Pasuk describes the chutzpah of the Jewish people in their acceptance of the golden calf, nevertheless, there's still a hint in this Pasuk that the Almighty did not totally abandon them. Again, the Pasuk says, the Gemara Rav says, Vadayin Chavivuso Yigabon, their love was still, the love of the Jewish people was still by the Ribbono Shel Olam. Dichtiv, the Pasuk says, Nosan. In the Pasuk we read, which referred to the fragrance being cast away, it says, Nosan, means to give forth, Velo Kosav Hisrich, and it doesn't say that it was a foul smell, indicating that it was a bad situation, but it wasn't a rotten situation. Tanu Rabbanan, Hane Elovin Veinon Olvin, Shomin Cherposin Veinon Meshivin, those people who are Ne'elov, they are victimized by insults, and they don't return. They're not Olvin, they don't take the initiative to respond. They hear their deprecation. Shomim Cherposin, they hear their deprecation. The Eino Meshivin, and do not respond. Oysun Me'avo Smechim Bisurin, they perform mitzvahs out of a sense of love of the Ribbono Shel Olam, of the Almighty, and they accept suffering with joy. That's Smechim Bisurin. And Rashi adds, They with joy they accept their being insulted. So regarding people that demonstrate these traits, as we said, regarding them, the Pasuk says, V'oihavov kitseis Hashemen b'gvuroso. Those that love the Almighty are like the sun. Sun's intensity as it shines forth. An expression of great, we'll say, of great admiration, a very high level of connection to the Almighty. People that understand what that setbacks and all of the like are from Hashkochas Hashem and are able to deal with it. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, my dichtiv Hashem yitain omer amavaser sovarav. What are we to learn from this pasuk? Kol dibor v'dibor shiyotzu mipi hagvura nechlak l'shivim l'shonos. That every word at Matan Torah that came forth from the Almighty automatically divided into 70 languages. 70 languages representing the 70 different nations of the world. Toni Debay Rabbi Shmuel. We have a number 2 here because you'll see a similar idea reflected by the Tanaic source from the Yeshiva Rabbi Shmuel using a different pasuk. The pasuk says, "Uchafatish yefotzeitz sela." Like the patish is a hammer that smashes stones. Ma patish ze nechlak likama nitzotzos, just like the stone after it's impacted by the hammer sparkles, the stone being hit with the contact between the metallic hammer and the stone produces sparks, so it's nechlak likama nitzotzos, or it could be a reference to the fragmenting of the stone itself. Av kol dibur v'dibur shiyotzim b'gash baruch nechlak l'shivim l'shono. So to every word that issued forth from the Almighty was automatically divided, or each word was translated, if you will, into 70 languages. This portrays the idea that Matan Torah, the presenting of the Torah, was not something that was specific to the Jewish people, but it was something that was of an international, of a world significance, with all the peoples of the world understanding what was being said. Omar Rav Chanan bar Popa, my dichtiv shimu ki negidim adaber, lomo nimshilu divrei Torah kinogid. Why is the Torah compared to a ruler. Nagid is a ruler. This is the first of two approaches to this particular pasuk. So the first approach says, Lomar Loch, this analogy between the between Divrei Torah and a ruler, teaches us, Ma Nogid Zeyeshboi Lomis Lachios. Just like a monarch, a leader, a ruler has the power within him to kill and to preserve alive. He can order someone's death, or he can exonerate him and preserve him alive. Af divrei Torah yesh bom lahamis lahachios. So too, the Torah has in, within it the power to bring death and bring life. Hainu d'ama Rava, and it's based on this that Rava says lemaiminim ba samadachai. Those that are maiminim ba. Rashi says that those that engage in Torah with all their effort, with all their strength, to understand the depth of Torah, they are experiencing the elixir of life, samadachai, the elixir of life. Lemasminim ba, those who approach Torah in a lackadaisical fashion, well, sama de moisa, it's the elixir of death. In other words, great reward and pleasure will not come as a result of that. Tovar acher, negidim, another approach to the expression negidim, called dibor v'dibor shiyotz mikash baruchu, each word that emanated from the Almighty, koshrim loy shnei ksorim. The word negidim is a plural form of a leader, a ruler, and a ruler is associated with a crown, so that each word coming forth from the Almighty was crowned with two crowns. As we continue in the Gemara, you'll notice triangles appear. On the side, we've noted that these are under our Mivneh heading, Memros Sheshel Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Through different comments of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi that are connected with Hashayachim Lematan Torah. Om Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, my dichtiv tzor hamor dodi li bein shodayolin. What are we to understand from this pasuk? Om lo kenes Yisrael fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the nation, the community of Israel, said to the Almighty, Ribonu Shalolam, O Almighty, Af al pi shemeitzar umeimar li dodi. This is a reference to the meitzar, and meimar is a lashon of bitterness. Meitzar is a lashon of pain. So that even though dodi, my beloved one, at the meaning the Almighty Himself, at the meisah egel, even though he was pained and he removed our crowns, bein shodai yolin. This is a literally bein shodai is between my breasts. You will lie. This is a reference to the building of the Mishkan. In the Mishkan, there was the inner sanctum called the Kodesh HaKodashim that was separated from the rest of the Mishkan with a curtain. In the inner sanctum was the holy ark that was that had attached to it two long poles. The poles protruded from the other side of the curtain, creating an imagery of a woman's breasts. So that's the reference here. That even though at the Maisa Egel there was pain on the part of the Almighty, seeing the Jewish people abandon Him, and as a result, they lost their crowns. Nevertheless, there was a decision immediately to make the Mishkan. Rashi says, "Bein Shodai Yolin Omar Miyad." He said immediately, "Lasus Lo Mishkan, make for me a Mishkan." Lios Mitzumtzemes Shinosa Bein Shnei Habadim Shinirum Beitzus Rishon Kishnei Shodayim. That the Kodesh Baruch Hu will reduce and concentrate His divine presence over there between the two poles of the holy ark that, as we said, protruded forth like the two shodayim of a woman, dochen bolten beparochas shekinegad pesach, that protruded in the curtain which was the opening, which was the division between the inner sanctum and the rest of the Mishkan. The Gemara continues, Eshkol ha-kofer doidi li b'karmi ein gedi. We're continuing with another pasuk from the first parak of Shir HaShirim. We learn from this pasuk, Eshkol was mi shakul shelo, someone who has everything, mechaper li al ovoin gedi shekoramti li, will atone for the avon, for the sin of the egel, shekoramti li, that I gathered. The Rashi explains a little more. In the middle of the Omid, Rashi Ein Gedi is avon, the sin of the egel shumin behema. A gedi is literally a goat, but it's a reference to the golden calf, which is a type of behema. Rashi has a second Lashon Acher, Lashon Akum. It's a Lashon, Ein Gedi is a Lashon of an idol. As the Pasuk says, Ha'orichem L'gad Shulchan, the word God is an idol in that Pasuk. The next Rashi, She'koramti, She'asafti, Nis'avois Elos Harbe, Kidachtiv Eile Elech Yisrael. So that the... As we look again at this drosha, Eshkol ha-kofer doidi b'karmi ein gedi, we mentioned before, Eshkol is a reference to, as the Gemara says, Misha kol shelo, a reference to the Almighty. He is the one that everything, ha-kol shelo, everything is his. The Pasuk had said ha-kofer, the Gemara understands that to mean mechaper li, the Almighty will forgive me, will atone for my sins, al avon gedi, regarding to the, that's a reference to the golden calf sin, shekoramti li, that I gathered for myself. In other words, I, by serving the golden calf, Rashi makes a reference to that, to another Gemara, that they actually had an interest in worshipping many different idols. It's as if they gathered up many idols, idolatry. Nevertheless, the Almighty will atone for that. The Gemara asks, "My mashma dai karmi lishna de machnish hu?" From where do we see that the word karmi, which we saw in the pasuk b'karmi en gedi, is a lotion of gathering up? Omar Marzutra Brei de Rav Nachman. So Marzutra explains Kidisnan, as we see in the following Tanaic source, Kisei Shel Koveis. This is a description of a washman's vessel. The Kisei Shel Koveis is a particular vessel used in the washing of clothes. Shekormin Olov Es HaKelim. Kelim is a reference to clothes, that clothing would be gathered upon this. So you see, the word Kormim, which we dashed underline, is an expression that has to do with gathering up of something. The Gemara continues, Yomar Rabbi Shua ben Levi, another triangle, another drosha of his, Mai dechtiv l'choyov ke'arugas habosem. Here we're continuing with drushes from Psukim in Shir HaShirim, Kol dibor v'dibor shiyotzim b'pi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, every utterance that issued forth from the mouth of the Almighty, Nismali kol om kulo b'somim. The world became filled with sweet fragrances, with spices. But if we look again carefully at this drush, it says each word that came forth from the Almighty, so given, let's say, the first word that came forth, so the world became filled up with besamim. So the Gemara asks, V'kimon shemidibo rishon ismale, since from the first utterance the world already became filled up, dibo sheni leichon holach, so where would the results of the second utterance go? Once the world is filled already from the first utterance, there's no room left for the second utterance and its spices to fill up. So the answer is, the Almighty brought forth a wind from his storehouse, and the wind, after each utterance, and we said the world would get filled up, so the wind would then blow the spices away, making room for the second load of spices after the second utterance, and so on and so forth. Shinemar, the pasuk that indicates this is from Shira Shirim Perek Hey, Sifsois of Shoshanim, Notvois Mor Over. Al Tikri Shoshanim Elo Sheshonim. So the word in this pasuk says that Sifsois of his lips, Sheshonim, that teach. Shonim is to teach Torah. So Notvois Mor Over, the word Over is a reference to Ma'aviron, that the winds would blow and cast the previous spices away. The Omer of Yeshua ben Levi, called Dibur v'Dibur Shiyotzim b'Pi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, upon each utterance of from the Almighty, Yotzsa Nishmosan She Yisrael, their souls departed them. You can say in simple terms, at each utterance, the Jewish people died. Shenemar Nafshi Yotzsa B'Dabro. Again, a pasuk from there in Shir HaShirim. That nafshi, my soul, my breath of life, left me as he spoke. Once again, we have a similar style question as we had just before. A moment in this drasha, we're saying that upon each utterance, so at the first utterance, they died. So if they already died at the first utterance, how can they continue dying? If they're already dead, how could they even absorb the second utterance? Answer: Horid Tal Shal Silachis Boy Mesim. The Almighty brought forth the dew that eventually in the future will come to restore the dead, and he used it there, v'hechya oisam, and as we said, they died after the first dibur, so he then brought this called miraculous dew, and it resurrected them, and then that enabled them to hear then the second dibur, and the story continued. Shenemar, the pasuk that indicates this tal shosid lachius, says, Geshem nidvois tonif elikim nachlos chavinu le'oit ato kinanto. So from that pasuk, we see Geshem nidavois, Rashi says, Gabi matan torah ksiv v'sefer tehillim. It's the Geshem literally is the rain of nidavos, the rain of favor, a reference to this dew that it was capable of resurrecting. The Omar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, called Dibor v'Dibor, Shiyotzim Kirash Baruch Hu, each utterance that came forth from the Almighty, Chozu Yisrael Achoreim, Yud Beis Mil, it pushed back the Jewish people a distance of 12 mil. V'hoi Malachei Hashoris Medadin Oison, after they were shoved back, so to speak, with the hearing of the Almighty's utterance, and cast back 12 mil, the service angels came and pushed them back into place. That's midadin oson, has to do with moving something. Shenemar malachei tzvois yedodun yedodun. The pasuk as it is sounds like the malachei tzvokos, the heavenly service angels themselves, they moved themselves. So the Gemara says, Al Tikri Yedodun, instead of reading it as Yedodun, read it Elo Yedadun, meaning they caused others to move. And that's a reference to the Malachi Ashoris causing the movement or the return of the Jews after they retracted 12 mil, after they were shoved back 12 mil. The Omar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, when Moshe Rabbeinu went heavenwards to receive the Torah, Amru Malach Yeshua Sefer Kosh Baruch Hu, the service angels spoke to the Almighty and said, Ribbono Shalom, Ma Lilud Isha Beinenu, what is a human being? Yilud Isha literally is born from woman. What is he doing here? We're dealing with an interface between man and the extreme spiritual existence as is represented by the angels. Before we go further, we have a topic heading that introduces this section, and it's under the Noseh heading, Kitrug Malach Yashoris Neged Matan Torah Levnei Adam, the complaint of the service angels against the giving of the Torah to humanity, to people, Umifgash Moshe Itam, and Moshe's meeting with them, or confronting them. So they asked, as we already read in the Gemara, Ma Lilud Isha Beinenu, the Gemara continues, Omar Lahen, so the Almighty said, Lekabel Torah Ba, this man, this is Moshe Rabbeinu, he came to receive the Torah. Amru lefano. The angels responded, Hamuda genuza shegenuza lecha. Cha meos v'shivim v'arba doros. Hamuda genuza is this precious treasure that's been hidden away for 974 generations prior. Kodim shenivra olam. In other words, there's this is a very hard concept, but to understand or to explain, but translating wise, at least, there's a reference to a time period prior to the world's creation. So the Gemara makes reference to the original plan was that the Torah was to be given 1,000 generations after the creation of the world. So in effect, though, it was given not 1,000 generations, but a mere 26 generations. So here's the balance, of course, from if you subtract 26 from 1,000, you get to 974. So this precious treasure that was hidden away for 974 generations before Kodim Shenivra Olam, before the creation of the world, Atam Avakish Litno Labosim Adam, you intend to present this heavenly treasure to mere blood and flesh. Mo Enoish Ki Siz Kerenu Ben Odom Ki Tifkedenu. The angels proclaim, what is man that we should even make reference to him or account for him? Hashem Adonenu Mo'adir Shimcha B'chol Eretz Asher Tino Hoyidcha Al Shamayim. You almighty, great, all-powerful one, cast your glory on the heavens. And we dashed underline this expression, Tino Hoyidcha Al Shamayim, is a reference to keep the Torah here, up in the heavens, not give it to mere mortals. Omar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, upon hearing the antagonism of the angels, HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns to Moshe and says, Hechzir lehen tshuva, respond to them. Omar lefonav, Ribono shel Misyor ani, I'm afraid, Shemo Yisrafuni be'evel shebefiem. I'm afraid they might burn me from the heat emanating from their mouths. Omar lo, so the Almighty says, Echoiz b'kisei kvodi, hold my heavenly throne, the kisei hakavod, the chazor lohen shuva, and offer and respond to them. In other words, holding the kisei hakavod will serve as a source of protection for Moshe. Shenemar, the pasuk that indicates this is Machaz pnei kisei pashaz olov anonoi, the Omer of Nochum. Melame, this pasuk teaches us Shepir Shakai Miziv Shkinoso VeAnonoi Olav. The Shakai is one of the descriptions of the Almighty. It's a name of the Almighty. So it's saying that the word Parshaz is Piresh Shakai Miziv. It's a contraction. Parshaz is a contraction that a reference to the Almighty departing from His heavenly glow and hovering over and protecting Moshe Rabbeinu. These are extremely lofty ideas, but in the context of our Gemara markings, Daf Yomi Shiur, we are compelled to proceed further. Omar Lefonov, Ribbono Shalom, so Moshe Rabbeinu says, Almighty, Torah Sh'ata Noisenli, Ma Ksiv Bo. Now you'll notice we have started a new marking, a double underline, which is one of our series markings. You'll notice that these continue down the top of Pei Tes Amud Aleph. So under our Mivneh heading, we have featured the double underline, Ma Ksiv Bo, what is said in the Torah. And these are Tshuvosim Shem Moshe Rabbeinu L'Malach HaShoris. These are a series of responses that Moshe Rabbeinu offers to the angels. We also have a long answer marking. Notice the tuf that's encircled in the right-hand side of the Gemara text. This continues down a number of lines from the top of Peites. All of this is Moshe Rabbeinu's response. So he proceeds. He says to the angels, he says, the Torah that you are giving me, seems to be turning to the Almighty, says, the Torah that you're giving me, Maksivo, rhetorically, he says, well, what does it say in it? Does it not say, Onochi Hashem Elokecha Shehotziicho Me'eretz Mitzrayim, I am the Lord your God that brought you forth from the land of Egypt? Omar Lohem. Now Moshe turns to the angels. L'Mitzrayim Yoradetem. Did you descend into Egypt? L'Paro Ishtabatem. Were you enslaved to Paro? Torah Lomate Lohem. What business do you have with the Torah? The Ten Commandments begins with a proclamation of the Almighty being the Lord, the God of the Jewish people that were subjugated in Mitzrayim. So the Torah is designed, is focused toward the to those who were subjugated, not to the angels. So what business do you have? What connection do you have with the Torah? Shuv Maksiv Bo. Furthermore, what does it say? Lo ye lecho Elohim achirim. That you shall not have other God forms. So Moshe says to them, Bein amim atem shurim sho'ivdim avodah zarah. We're at the avodah zgalulim. We're at the top of Pei Tes Omed Aleph. He says to the angels, the Torah warns against worshiping other gods. That would be a warning that's suitable for someone who lives amongst the nations of the world, that in fact of the world that worship other gods, and the Torah's warning against that. But you, the angels, don't exist. You don't live amongst the other nations that are seductive in their attempts to impose their idolatry on others. Shuv, at the top line of Pei Tes Omed Aleph, Shuv Maksibo. Furthermore, what does it say? Zechoras Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho. Recount the Shabbos day to sanctify it and cease from creative activity. Klumatem oisim melocha shatem tzrichim shavus. Are you engaged in general with melochas, with creative activities that you need the Shabbos, so to speak, to cease, to desist from them? You're not involved to begin with melochas, so Shabbos has no meaning for you. Shuv maksibo. Furthermore, what does it say? Lo seesaw. The warning against swearing falsely in the name of the Almighty, or saying the name of the Almighty in vain. This is, generally speaking, something that would be characteristic of people that take oaths in the course of business dealings. People swear that, for example, that they paid up their debts, etc. So the pasuk that warns against false swearing, Masu Matan Yesh Menechem, do you, the angels, have business dealings that this prohibition would have any meaning? Shuv Maksibo. Furthermore, what does it say in the Torah? Kabedes Avicha Vesimecha, the commandment to honor one's father and mother. Avim Yishlechem, do you have a father and a mother? Shuv Maksibo. Furthermore, what does it say? Lo Sirtzach, the prohibition, the command not to murder. Lo Sinaf, not to conduct an immoral lifestyle. Lo Signov, not to involve in different types of theft, kidnapping. What brings on these different types of behavior of theft and immorality and murder? It's a function of, oftentimes, of jealousy, of strife. Kino yesh b'nechem, yitzhoro yesh b'nechem. Do you have jealousy amongst you? Do you have an evil inclination that would cause you to do these things that the Torah is warning against? In other words, with regard to the service angels, these warnings don't have any meaning because the problems that they are attempting to solve cure or rebuff are not problems that exist in the first place amongst the service angels. Miyad hodu lo laKodesh Baruch Hu. Upon hearing all of these arguments, they conceded to the Almighty. Shenemar. Where do we see the angels conceding to the Almighty? Well, there's a pasuk that says Hashem Adonenu Mo Adir Shimcha B'chol Haaretz, and in this pasuk V'ilu Tano Hoidcho Al Hashemayim Lo Ksiv. In this pasuk, which is Tehillim Perek Ches pasuk Yud, you don't have the phrase that we dashed underlined earlier, which was in Tehillim Perek Ches. We saw that was we saw pasuk Bays that said Hashem Adonai Mo'adushim Kol Hashir Asher Tino Hoitchal Hashemayim. Here later on in Pasuk Yud, you don't see that phrase, so that their insistence or desire to maintain to keep the Torah in the heavens is something they were willing to forego, acknowledging Moshe Rabbeinu's arguments. Miyad kol echod vechod nase lo oyhev. Immediately, each angel became befriended Moshe Rabbeinu, umosar lo dovar, and gave him, each one gave him a a thing, a secret, a word. Shenemar olis lemorom shoviso shevi lokachto matonos beodom. And we learn from this pasuk, bischar shekarucha adam lokachto matonos, in reward for your being called an adam. And adam is a word understood to refer to a man. However, it has a derogative connotation insofar as man is made from Adama, from the dirt. So in reward for your listening to your being deprecated by being referred to as an Adam, you, and kept quiet, you were able to receive gifts. And that's a reference to what we said, that each one of the angels gave him something. And the Gemara continues, Af malach hamoves moser lo dover. Even the angel of death gave Moshe Rabbeinu a secret. Shenemar vayitein es haktoris vechaper la'om. The Torah describes a plague that had befallen the Jewish people in Sefer Bamidbar Perek Yud Zayin, Psukim Yud Beis and Yud Gimel, Viomer, and it says Vayamul Bein Amesim Uvein Achayim, and it says Vateotzer Ha Magefa. So that as there was a Magefa, a plague, and in order to stop the plague, a plague that resulted in the death of many, so a victorious was an incense. We often associate victorious with the Mizbeach Hazov in the Beis Hamikdash, but in the story in Bamidbar Perek Yud Zayin, a victorious offering was made amongst the people, and the dying stopped. Now, how did they know? How did Moshe and Aaron know to offer the Ketores to stop the dying? Ilav de Amale, if the angel of death, who is the emissary of death, if he hadn't told Moshe Rabbeinu about the effectiveness of the Ketores, mi have yoda, would he have known? So we see here that Rashi says that it's not written in the Torah that the Ketores stops death, so it must have been a result of Moshe Rabbeinu hearing from the Malach HaMoves that this is a way to stop dying, stop death. And all of this, as the Gemara said, was after the angels conceded to Moshe Rabbeinu, they befriended him, and each one gave him a secret. The series of Rabbi Shimon Levi comments continues, but in the context of our Daf Yomi Shir, this represents a stopping point, so that with this we conclude our Shiur for today.